There's no sign that the historic drought in the U.S. is letting up, according to a new report. The U.S. Drought Monitor found that it's dry across two-thirds of the continental U.S., and it's expected to get drier. We don't know for sure if this drought is tied to global warming, but scientists predict that climate change will exacerbate extreme weather events like storms, heat waves, and droughts like this one. And all of this has our next guest worried, not just for our planet, but for our kids. In an article in the Daily Beast, journalist and author Mark Hertzgard urges parents to take steps to prepare and protect their children. Hertzgard is co-founder of a new group called Climate Parents, which is pushing for government policies that would slow global warming. And Mark Hertzgard joins us now. Welcome, Mark. Good to have you.
Thank you for having me.
In your piece, you exhort parents to respond to climate change in the same way they would step in front of a speeding train, if a speeding train were heading for their child. Can you explain what you mean by that metaphor?
That metaphor actually came from a friend of mine, a fellow journalist who, like me, has covered climate change for a long time and has been very frustrated and baffled, frankly, at how our political system is ignoring this problem. I mean, look at the presidential campaign. Neither Barack Obama nor Mitt Romney is talking about climate change at the very time that our country, as you just mentioned, is in the worst drought in 50 years. We're seeing corn prices skyrocket on futures markets, etc. And having myself covered climate change for 20 years now, I know the science here, and I know that my daughter, who's now 7 years old, is going to be facing the hottest climate. She's going to spend the rest of her life, in fact, facing the hottest climate our civilization has ever endured in 10,000 years.
This is why this is why you say our children belong to Generation Hot, as you call
Generation
it.
Generation Hot.
Yeah.
And this is just the laws of physics and chemistry. You know, the fact that once that carbon dioxide is up in the atmosphere, it stays there for decades. And so we are really front-loading this problem in a, I think, a disgraceful way to our young people. And when I became a parent 7 years ago, it really hit a new level of sort of personal concern for me.
And Mark, and you say this should be a big issue for parents like yourself, but it's not on the front burner for most. Why not? Why do you think this isn't like number one, this issue number one for most parents?
Well, I'm sorry to say, Anthony, I think our profession of the media has a lot to do with that, and also the political class in Washington. You've got one of the two major parties that has drunk the Kool-Aid on this and has, for their own ideological reasons, decided that climate change can't be real. If Democrats say it's real, it can't be real. It has nothing to do with the actual science, which should not be political. And so our politicians aren't talking about it, and the media hasn't talked about it. And too often in the last really 20 years, as this issue has been percolating through the scientific world, the media, I think, has both downplayed it and given it a sort of a false balance of, well, some scientists say it's real and some scientists don't. Well, the fact is virtually all scientists say it's real, and the few that don't are funded by ExxonMobil. So who are you going to believe?
Mm. Well, Mark, I mean, maybe the problem, too, and by way of pushback, let me suggest this. This is just such a huge problem, and I'm guessing that a lot of parents are focusing on a myriad of small but demanding issues, whether it's how to get their kids to school, whether it's how to pay for college, or you know the way it is, raising a kid.
Sure.
People are busy.
Yeah. Well, I think that's a lot. In fact, when somebody was asking us about starting this group, Climate Parents, and they said, well, why has nobody ever started a group on parents and climate before? And we said, well, that's the joke. You know, all of us who take parenting seriously, we're so darn busy
right.
that to step outside of our sort of personal lives and all the obligations you feel towards your kids, it's hard. But having said that, one of our other co-founders, a woman named Lisa Bennett, said, you know, I began to think it a bit odd that I attended to every bruise on my child's budding egos and their skin knees and then ignored the threat that it was going to put their city underwater in the space of their lifetime. And so I think it is hard. I think the other thing is that a lot of us feel like this, what can you do?
Mm.
The political system is broken. The polluters are too powerful. And we need to break through that. I mean, of course, it's tough, but That's not an excuse to let our kids face this alone.
Well, let's talk about a couple of specifics. You say parents could focus on taking mass transit, switching to renewable energy, maybe even eating less meat. But you want your group, Climate Parents, to focus on something even bigger. What's that?
Yeah, I think those personal changes are very important. Don't get me wrong. They're a good way to start, and they connect you to realizing what your own individual actions mean for our collective future. But, look, we're not going to be able to turn this around as long as the big drivers of climate change, which are government policies and corporate practices, as long as those stay in place, we can't do this. As long as our government is literally subsidizing the big energy companies to wreck the planet through both tax write-offs, but above all, we're letting them dump their waste into the atmosphere for free. We need to be charging. We need to be putting a price on carbon emissions and then returning the revenues of that fee to the American people so that they can go out and buy more efficient cars, so that they can go insulate their houses, so that they can reduce their own energy usage. This would be good for the economy, it'd be good for parents, and it'd be good for our kids in terms of trying to leave them a livable planet.
And in terms of things that parents can actually do, you write about, for example, switching to solar energy. That can be expensive. A lot of families are having trouble putting food on the table. So how realistic is it to expect this issue to be front of mind for families that might be struggling economically?
You know, the fact is, this is another area where I think the media has really fallen down. In more than a dozen states in this country, you basically can get solar for free. You can put a rooftop solar system up, no money down, and you will get reduced monthly electricity bills through the way that the because it is now so cheap to do this. And likewise with putting energy efficiency into your house, it is so economical to do that, that all what you do need, though, is the upfront money. And that is where government could play a really critical role. The big corporations are doing this. You know, a little company called BP got an enormous profit. They invested, I think it was $20 million in energy efficiency throughout their corporation. They returned $650 million. That's 32 times larger. That's the kind of money that the rest of us are leaving on the table. And if we've got smart government policies, especially at the local and state level, and you in Massachusetts have some good policies in that regard, there's a lot more that you can do than is commonly thought.
That's journalist and author Mark Hertzgard joining us to talk about his call for parents to organize around the issue of climate change and think about the next generation. Mark Hertzgard, thanks so much for joining us. We appreciate it.
Thanks so much for having me. We're at climateparents.org.
ClimateParents.org. Listeners, your thoughts. Go to hereandnow.org. You can leave a comment. You can also send us an email or head over to facebook.com/hereandnowradio. Back in a minute. You're listening to Here and Now.